Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 14. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You're singing hymn songs about your condition. Maybe you found just the right hymn because you're through trials. And you talk about when through deep trials you cause me to go, you know, the waves will not overflow. Those songs make meaning for you, and you identify and you talk to Him, and you're doing it through songs anytime. My point is this. You're going to go to a whole new level when you're in your glorified state. You're going to know how to play the instrument that is set forth here. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Now, this is not to be misunderstood. It's just talking about an instrument that is going to be accessible to them immediately. And you know, when you're in your glorified state, you'll look at something and understand it completely and intuitively. They say we only use 10% of our brain. So if you get completely glorified, you're going to have it all. You're going to look at it. You're going, oh, is that how it's done? Okay, you're doing it. You're playing. Now listen, if you could play whatever instrument you love the most, if it's a piano, a guitar, whatever it is, if you could just play that thing, a flute, some of those pan flutes are beautiful, you know, whatever it is, you're going to be able to not just have a song in your heart, you're going to be able to put that song into something that's collectively awesome. Because it says all the harpers are it's not dissonance, you can bet on that. And all the harpers are harping on their harps, and they're singing a song, and these people got that song, these 144,000. I'm trying to show you, these witnesses are an animated army on earth of witnesses. They're out there preaching, and they're going with faces like flint, and they have Emmanuel written in their mind. He was here, we missed him, I'm going to tell everybody, just like Paul did. He had to tell everybody. Now listen, I believe we're in the last of the last days. And I believe that we need to be telling as many people as we can. This is not time to go file your nails. This is not time to go coif your hair so you can go witness. Be a witness, right? Be a witness. That's what we do. We go witness. Because this is the last of the last days. And after this season, you won't have another opportunity to witness. That'll be done. That'll be over. Now, of course, we're going to come back in the millennial kingdom, but you'll be glorified then. You're not doing it by faith then. You're it. Okay, you are the witness. You're standing there, glorified, throughout the millennial kingdom. I'm telling you, God's word is precise. Right now is the time to get it locked into these people's spirit. What makes you witness? Conviction. Conviction makes you witness. When you realize that something's on fire, it'll make you witness. So I'll pass by this now. I wanted to bring that home. The Bible says that nobody could learn it, but these men, verse 3 at the end, it says, these 144,000 which were redeemed. And that's very important because these are redeemed witnesses of the Jewish faith that have gone out and witnessed everywhere. Verse 4 says their pedigree, as it were, was Jewish, but their life and their reputation and their resume, these were virgin males. And the Bible says they follow the Lamb. The Bible says that these were redeemed from among men, and it says they are first fruits, meaning that they got saved early in the tribulation, and they're first fruits of what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. It's kind of a condensed church age. Jesus rose, some graves opened, and a handful went, and that was a promise as first fruits that one day the whole harvest will be taken and will be raptured, and that'll be the end of the church. Well, this is the first fruits of the tribulation period. Verse 5 says, in their mouth was no guile, and they are without fault before the throne. Now, underline the words without fault, because as a believer, you realize that in Christ, you are without fault before the throne. You say, yeah, but you don't know me. I don't need to know you. God knows you. If you're a child of God and you've been born again, He says you are without fault, without blemish before Almighty God. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None. God said it. Now, you say, well, if I believe that, yeah. Be careful about how you finish that sentence. If you believe that, you should go do exploits for God. That's the whole purpose of Him imputing to you the righteousness of Christ. Not so you can sit back and say, well, I'm good. I don't need to do anything now. The Bible says, do not use your liberty, your freedom, as an occasion to the flesh. Can I give you an illustration of that? It's called America. We have liberty in America, but it doesn't mean the right to do wrong. And that's what we've been doing. Judgment is on this land because America's been bad. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible talks about us as being a people now in this Laodicean age where we do what we want. We defy anybody to call us on it. And our country is insolent and it's lost its way. There's a new commercial out trying to solicit people to work in the armed forces as well as in the CIA. And it's every kind of corrupted picture. It's called perversion because if there's a picture and you do a caricature of it, that's a perversion of what the person looks like. It just means it's not what God meant it to be. There's definitely a mess in this country right now. And I think when they do this video trying to solicit people, and they've got people who have got, one person on this video said they had anxiety issues. They're for the military. I'm sure that the Russians and the Chinese are shaking in their boots because they got a guy behind the bombs to press the button who's got anxiety issues. That's their commercial. We've lost our way. And that's what happens when you take grace for granted and do not do the exploits God would have you to do. These guys knew that they were redeemed. These guys knew that they were without fault. What did it do to them? It lit a fire under them. And that's what it's supposed to do to you and me. The Bible says in verse 6, and we move from that to the warnings. We've talked about the witnesses. Let's look at the warnings. The Bible says in verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach. You could put a question mark by this because the angels don't usually preach. You could see them back there at the time of the Nativity where they told them Jesus was over in a manger. And you could say, well, there's an interesting thing. And yeah, that is an interesting thing. But it's definitely the exception. God intends to use His Son when He preached, and He intends to use you and me to preach. We've been evacuated out of here. There's still 144,000 Jewish evangelists preaching, and there's still people who've been saved by them that are preaching. So there's a message going out. So why is this angel showing up to preach the everlasting gospel? Well, that's a good question, but I believe it's answered very simply in this. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when it says this, he saw this angel fly in the midst of heaven, it says that he's preaching, and he's preaching the everlasting gospel, which is unique. There are different kinds of gospels mentioned. Paul talks about, you know, if somebody brings you another spirit, another gospel, another Christ, I'm sure you'll take it. You know, you're a mess over there in Corinth. You need to straighten up and focus. But this is the everlasting gospel. Now, we talk about the gospel in the New Testament. He says, I declared unto you in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I declared unto you, Corinthians, the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins and was buried. And how that He rose again the third day, all according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. The everlasting gospel makes us get a wider scope. Do you know what that is? That's that we were in the garden. And we were in perfect harmony with God. And we fell. So from Genesis all the way to the Revelation, now we're going to get back to where we would call even ground eventually. And the everlasting gospel is that we fell, Jesus died, was buried, rose again to save us. He gave us a body called the church that you and I could be part of. Then He's going to get Israel back in, and He's going to do that through this period of time. And then He's going to give us a millennium to give them a chance to where they will never say, blessed be the God who delivered us from Egypt, but rather, blessed be the God who brought us out of every nation, tribe, and tongue, and did a miracle with us. Everything that happened in Egypt is going to be, you know, all of their failures as well, is going to be falling into black. It's not going to be anything important or significant anymore, because these people are going to be so lit up, then they've been brought out, and it's been so miraculous with bulls and seals and bowls and trumpets and all that. And then He's going to have them be the priesthood of the entire millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. Listen, that's not all of the everlasting kingdom, because it doesn't end in 1,000 years. It actually brings the full kingdom into light when the new heaven and the new earth dawn, which we don't even get stories about. But I'll tell you what it is. If Adam and Eve would have had children and never fallen, what would the world have looked like? I can tell you the answer to that. It'll look like the new heaven and the new earth. There are going to be glorified saints and angels, but there's also going to be people on the new earth who get catapulted over there, I believe, between the times of the great white throne judgment and the end of the millennium and the one last overthrow. And they're going in there. It's going to be a whole group of people
who are going to be just like Adam and Eve were, because sin is going to be extracted, and they're going to go in there, and they're going to bring their glory into the heavenly city. There's just a whole lot of things that we get telegraphed to us as we approach the time of the end after the great white throne. New heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness will dwell peaceably. Which doesn't happen in the millennium. There's still sinners in the millennium. Okay, at the end of the millennium, they're going to have one last fling of trying to overthrow God, and it won't work. Now, I looked at this, and I was thinking about this other angel flying, preaching, and everybody hearing him. Everybody hearing him. How can that be? Well, if you go back to the Left Behind series with Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, they put those books together. You would find that they had a satellite that seemed to be flying out in space, and somebody locked in, and they said, "What's going on?" Well, it's got a radio wave, and they're like looking at that, and they're saying, "Well, it looks like an angel, you know," and they're trying to figure out, how do you do this? Well, what I want to suggest to you is something that's kind of new that has happened. First of all, you have a device on your person probably called a smartphone. That smartphone has a thing in it called an EBS system, emergency broadcast system, which they can light up at any given time. And the United States has had that for quite some time, where they can actually go on that thing and telegraph you a message. Well, now they have a new thing because of this new American Space Force. That's the new thing that President Trump put into place. Well, the Space Force now has put up some satellites into the heavens, and these satellites now have not an emergency broadcast system. They have a global broadcast system. So not just can you hear it in America, but you'll be able to light up all the phones in the entire world and say things. Now, to me, I don't know, if you go to the Jerry Jenkins storyline, which is kind of fun, and we're all postulating here, but just think about it, the technology is there. You take an angel, and that angel gets onto that thing and begins to take over, okay? Can God do that? Yeah, he can do that. He made a donkey speak, okay? You know, he raises the dead, he casts the world into existence with the word of his mouth. I mean, God can put an angel in control of that thing, and they're saying, this thing ain't working, I'm pressing buttons, nothing's happening. But everybody's phone could blow up, everybody's TV can be, all smart TVs getting smarter all the time could blow up. Everybody will be told, you need to hear this gospel. What is this everlasting gospel? Well, the Bible says he had the everlasting gospel to preach in verse 6, and he's preached to every, and by the way, this global system has to be able to talk to everybody, so it's going to go out in everybody else's voice. This is like a miracle of the of Pentecost, where everybody heard every man in his own language. Well, the Bible says that went to everyone on the earth, every kindred, tribe, nation, and tongue, every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice. You're not going to miss it. It says, fear God. First thing it says, is that the gospel? No, that's the beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the gospel is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You fear the Lord, and that's where you start, because if you start there, you're on the right trajectory. First thing he says is fear the Lord. Fear God and give glory to him instead of yourself. So now we got selflessness. So we're starting to say it's not about me, it's about God. And it says glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Judgment is the Greek word krisis. It's the word we get the word crisis. The hour of his crisis has come. He's telling you. You didn't get it yet. You're getting it now. God's sending an angel to pull back the curtain and say the hour of his crisis has come. And crisis literally has the idea of a dividing of ways. When you get in a crisis, it's because you don't know which way to go. It's like, I don't know what to do. I got to go this way or that way. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. My husband fell down, hit his head. I don't know what to do. Do I call? Do I go get a blanket for a thing for his head? What do I do? You know, you've got a crisis, and you got to make some decisions. The tribulation is all about that crisis. And he's got a crisis on the world, and the world's going to know it now because this angel's going to tell him. And it says, give glory to him and worship him, verse 7, that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. So they're saying, go back to who you know he is.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.